obviously a lot of developments just in the last 36 hours with the letter from Orange County Health Director Quintana Stewart urging UNC to go fully online for the first 5 weeks. You just heard from Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, who also signed a letter to UNC along those lines, and will be meeting tomorrow with other local leaders and law enforcement agencies about off-campus enforcement of social distancing and mask requirements and things like that. Amidst all of that, an event is coming up that, and actually not just an event, but an ongoing initiative is coming up that happens every single year. It's going to be very, very different this year in the midst of the pandemic, of course, but the mission is the same, and that is the Good Neighbor Initiative to welcome students back to Chapel Hill and Carrboro and the greater community, make sure everyone knows the rules and everything, and getting folks together for neighborliness as we get into the start of the fall semester. We're joined here in the studio by two special guests. Aaron Bockenheimer is the Executive Director of UNC's Office of Off-Campus Student Life and Community Partnerships. George Barrett is the Executive Director of the Marion Cheek Jackson Center. JacksonCenter.info is their website for more information on them. George, Aaron, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having us.
Awesome.
Aaron, great to be back in the studio. Thanks for having us. We always appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, first of all, it's been a week. A lot's happened in the last couple of days. What are your thoughts about the letter from the health director, all of the conversations that have been happening? Like, we're 4 days away from the start of the semester. What are you thinking right now?
So...
You're both pointing at each other.
Yeah,
no one wants to start.
I think we're just being polite to each other. I think we both get to work with each other a lot and both respect each other's opinions on these topics a lot. So, my focus specifically, professionally at the university, is on the fact that we have students here and we have students coming over the next several days. And we want to do everything we can to support students and support the community until somebody says to do it differently, right? And we are doing our initiative differently. We've shifted the Good Neighbor Initiative to really more of a campaign as opposed to events. And we have over the last several years really built out events so that they're year-round efforts. But you know, this is the responsible thing to do, is to move towards more of a virtual and digital campaign approach. And so that's really been my primary focus. I think you can get sort of sucked into a lot of different things going on around the community. But at this point, I think we're really just trying to be laser focused on supporting our students, our community members, making sure that people have the information they need to make more informed choices and decisions, and hopefully those decisions are really community-minded. And we're really trying to focus the Good Neighbor Initiative on kind of three areas. One is the what we would call the traditional good neighbor stuff: noise, trash, parking, and then public health. So the three W's: if you are going to gather with a very small group of socially distanced mask-wearing friends, here's how to do that and be smart and safe and respectful of the community that you're a part of. And then third, really tying in this element of what does racial equity and racial justice look like, particularly in historically African-American neighborhoods like the North Side and Pine Knolls, because we think there's a lot of overlap between all of those elements. And so that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, George.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, my focus over the past week has really been listening to the neighbors of Northside, Pine Knolls, and Tin Top. And as Aaron said, these are three historically Black communities of Chapel Hill, and also filled with amazing neighbors, but also a lot of elderly neighbors, a lot of elderly Black neighbors. And so, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, you know, we know that the pandemic has disproportionately affect people of color, especially Black individuals. And also, you know, with an older population, our neighbors are at highest risk. So definitely, you know, I've been listening a lot to neighbors talking about Seeing students coming in, thinking about what does this mean safety-wise for their own safety with students coming in, but also recognizing that students are their neighbors. There has been, over the past 20 years within Northside, Pine Hills, and Tin Top, there has been an influx of student rental investment properties, and then students have moved into the neighborhood. And neighbors very much see students as a part of their community, and we do the work to try to educate students about this community, about Northside, and also, I think this year, really thinking about the historical context of this neighborhood and what it means for students to wear their masks and practice social distancing and not have loud, crazy parties with 50 to 100 people. That's not something that we promote every year, but this year especially, like, that has a different context within this neighborhood. I'm doing a lot of listening and also working with Aaron and the town as well to really do that messaging about, like, what does it really mean? Like, what does it really mean to do this in this neighborhood? And, what does it really mean, especially for students in this moment, to be allies to this community? If you're coming in this community and you're living in this community, what is it actually, wearing a mask and practice social distancing, and really at the core, getting to know your neighbors from a safe distance, and that communication is part of being an ally in this time to be able to sustain this neighborhood and keep it safe during this pandemic.
There's so much to unpack this year. And as you mentioned, it's all interrelated. What have you heard from residents?
It's a mix of things. That question in general, there's so many residents in the community that have different opinions on everything. But I've heard concern about, wondering, like, seeing students and, like, even if there's, like, a few walking down the street being without masks, just being like, okay, that's a little bit of a concern, wondering what the how things are going to be enforced, not by only by the town, but the university. Are students fully coming back in full capacity? So I think there's just a lot of potential, concern about what this means from a health perspective from neighbors about what's going on, and wanting to know, what are these different policies and what's going to be happening, really protecting these protecting this neighborhood.
Yeah. I would just add, I've listening to community members across Chapel Hill and Carrboro and included in everything that George has said, I've also heard a lot of community members who care for students, and they want students to practice 3 W's and be smart, not just for the community member's safety, but for students' safety, right? They care about students. They know what students mean to this community. They value students in the community, and so they want to engage students and support students and be supportive of students in the community. So I've really appreciated that. I think it's easy to get sort of caught up sometimes in the very valid concerns, right, that folks express. But I hear an equal amount of, we love students, we care about students, we want students to be healthy and well, and what can we do to share those messages with students that we talk to as well? So I think it shows a lot about our community, and I am heartened by the number of people who want to be a part of the Good Neighbor. I've gotten emails over the last several days, how can we amplify messaging and be a part of this conversation, because we care about students too.
I think that's such an important point, that, like, in this conversation, I think people might have a tendency to try to draw that bright line between students and community members. Students are community members,
right,
and we're all on the same page. It's so important to remember.
I mean, to add on that, like, knowing that students are community members, wanting them to practice the same things that neighbors have been practicing this whole pandemic. Mm-hmm. I said this at a council meeting last week, but I think, Northside neighbors have been the model for how to behave during this, time. I mean, partially because, like, being elderly Black neighbors, like, you have to, and people have to isolate and make those sacrifices. But I think as students, being a part of this community and not being a separate community, it's holding them to that same standard and holding them to that same accountability and that same expectation that neighbors have hold themselves to for their own safety, to really think also not just about themselves, but really think about beyond themselves. Because I think this pandemic is really I think, forcing a lot of people to think beyond themselves and about the whole community. And Northside is a community very much that thinks beyond itself. It thinks about the whole community, thinks about the Black community, and how all of these actions affect the people around them. And so I think neighbors are, knowing that students and viewing students as part of this community, are also wanting them to and expecting them to have the same standards of behavior during this as Northside neighbors are.
Speaking with George Barrett, you just heard him. Aaron Bockenheimer also here. We're talking about the Good Neighbor Initiative. Which what are the details this year? What's it gonna look like, feel like, sound like?
Yeah, so it's a lot of messaging and through a number of different platforms. So in the next couple days, we'll be rolling out our Tar Heel Citizen Times, which is a monthly, during the academic year, a monthly e-newsletter that goes out to over 20,000 off-campus students. With timely information, obviously. The kickoff edition always includes a lot of welcome back stuff. It'll include everything I already talked about in terms of those traditional good neighbor messages, those public health messages, those racial equity and racial justice messages. The Northside News, which goes out specifically in the Northside community, will be coming out soon with a lot of those similar messages. We'll be pushing out information through social media accounts. So we'll be sending out emails. There is, as you know, in media, no one channel to push information. And so we're really looking for as many community partners to be a part of sharing, amplifying, spreading the message through digital communications and virtual communications as possible. And we even look sort of down the line to opportunities throughout the year to engage student organizations. We've had a number of student groups that have indicated a desire to continue the messaging throughout the year. We've got some kind of good neighbor COVID-19 specific messaging that we created and digital graphics that we created this year. We'll use some graphics that we've used in the past that maybe were print material in the past that we'll convert to a digital Instagram post this time. So we hope people will follow the Marion Cheek Jackson Center social media, our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, which you can typically just find by looking up UNC off-campus student life, our UNC and community social media accounts through the university, the town's social media accounts as well. Both Chapel Hill and Carrboro are part of this initiative. So you name it, we're pushing information through it.
Yeah, and I think too, with all that information and something that is a goal and something that we achieve every year, but I think this year is even more important, is really through that messaging, having students hold their peers accountable and have these communication and have these conversations with their peers as well. I think I've already seen what I've been so inspired by at different council meetings is seeing students who are involved with the Jackson Center in Northside, but also in other off-campus communities, like voicing their opinions and voicing their concerns, voicing things to the university. And what's so thrilling is, like, especially seeing students who have been involved in Northside and have really learned and really taken it and embodied this history of activism within this community, doing that activism that they are learning from neighbors and talking at town council meetings and holding, you know, elected officials and UNC's flames to the fire. but really doing that because of a deep connection with this community and other off-campus communities, and continuing that advocacy and community justice that's so abundant.
Again, speaking with George Barrett and Aaron Bockenheimer, and I'm excited to have both of you in here because one could argue that you are the two most important people in town right now. We were talking with Mayor Heminger last hour, and the letter that she co-wrote with Lydia Lavelle and Jen Weaver and Penny Rich to UNC had six recommendations on it, and point number six is the one that everyone's talking about, which is follow the Orange County Health Director. Point number one is give more money to Aaron Bockenheimer. And I think it's pretty much verbatim that line.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you and your office are pivotal in this, and George, you and the Jackson Center have been so important in all of the conversations and everything that I've heard and read about the Black Lives Matter movement and just the movement against racism this summer. One of the things that I keep hearing over and over again on a national level is if we really want to move the dial, let's have non-governmental community-building organizations that really boost and promote and support the African-American community. And every time I hear that, which has been many times, I think, oh, thank God we've got the Jackson Center in Chapel Hill that's already doing that. So what has your last couple of months been in terms of doing that community building in the midst of that movement?
Yeah, I mean, again, I go back to, like, you know, listening to our neighbors and being led by our neighbors. You know, we just do the work of facilitating neighbors and solving their own problems and having self-determination. And so we have been, you know, been very vocal about connecting to the Movement for Black Lives and, like, putting some of that information out and connecting to there. We've also been doing a lot about, you know, continuing to communicate and on social media, our website, in person, about the activist history within Northside, because as we know, the Black Lives Matter movement, this is not an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. This is a continuation of structural oppression and structural racism. And I've also been, you know, hearing from our neighbors, and as a Black man, hearing from our neighbors about their struggle, and giving me and also a lot of other young Black people and people of color not only advice but encouragement to continue this fight, because this fight, they were fighting the same thing, you know, 60 years ago in the 1960s. And so we just continue to be led by our neighbors and be led by their community justice and facilitate that work, and then communicate that work to the next generation, whether that's the next generation of K-12 kids through our education programs, but also to the next generation of students who are coming in fired up, wanting to be allies, wanting to be involved, wanting to do something in this moment, and communicating, well, like, one of the things that you can do to really be an ally and to prove that Black Lives Matter to you is wear your masks, practice social distancing, and support this historically Black neighborhood of neighbors who have, you know, been integral to the university's history and Chapel Hill's history. So we just continue to, you know, do what the neighborhood tells us to do, basically, and in that collaboration.
If people want to help, either the Jackson Center, your office, Aaron, the Good Neighbor Initiative in general, where can they go? What can they do?
So if they want to help with the Jackson Center in Northside, they can go to jacksoncenter.info, which is our website, or they also can follow our social media on Instagram and on Twitter. And they can also, you know, contact me if they want to as well. My and staff emails are on the Jackson Center website, and get in contact through there, because we have an amazing staff and neighbors that will connect you to different ways to get involved.
Awesome. Aaron?
Well, I will say, you know, all sort of joking aside about more financial resources, I have to say, I feel very privileged in my work. I may be an office of one at UNC, but nobody has more partners in the community than I do in the work that I do, whether it's the Jackson Center, the towns of Chapel Hill and Carrboro, inclusive of the fire department and the police department, empowerment, a number of community nonprofits, student government, and countless other student organizations at Carolina, downtown businesses. It's just really great to have so many people who want to contribute to the effort. If folks are interested out there in how can I be engaged and involved, really following us on social media is really helpful, and retweeting, amplifying messages, sharing your own message on top of our messages in a positive way to the community, not being afraid to be an active bystander in the community and talk to students mm-hmm. as you see them. Talk to them like adult human beings mm-hmm. With care and concern. You know, I think I'm concerned about sort of treating students like they're somehow interlopers in the community. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we talk to students, they want to be talked to, and they understand if you talk to them like adults when they've made a bad choice and how to improve that decision. And in my experience, 95% of the time, you don't have to have the same conversation mm-hmm. twice if you address students as adult human beings. So those are some ways I encourage folks to reach out to us. You can always email me. By the way, if you have community concerns, you can always reach out to me at offcampus@unc.edu. That's my email address in the office. Give me a call, 919-843-5827, and leave me a message. I'll be happy to call you back. You are not going to bother me if you call me and reach out and express a concern. These concerns are valid. I want to hear them and see people for their concerns that they have, and then try to address them. And we have some great community partners that are willing to do that with us.
Any final thoughts as we wrap up that we haven't gotten to yet?
I just want everybody to be safe
yeah.
and be well and appreciate everybody's concerns that they've shared. I think yeah. sometimes it feels like, I don't know if I want to say anything, or I feel mm-hmm. bad reaching out, or I don't want to just be another complaint, and I just want to thank people for their concerns. I think they're really valid and understandable, and as a community member and as a longtime Chapel Hill resident, as somebody who grew up here, and as somebody with two young children of my own, I share many of the concerns. And so it's not that we don't want to hear them. We just hope folks will be constructive and maybe even bring some solutions mm-hmm. with those concerns, because we are not always the experts.
Yeah.
We facilitate a
yes.
lot, but yeah. Lots of people bring us good ideas about how we can improve the work that we're doing. And so please keep reaching out to us.
Yeah, I would just say I think more than ever, it's really important to be community-minded and encourage everyone to do that.
George Barrett, Aaron Bockenheimer, thank you both so much for being with us today and for all that both of you do in the community.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.